What up, y'all? We are just in time right before Thanksgiving with all your latest wrestling news coming up next.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Hey, what's up, y'all? My name is TK Trinidad. Welcome to WWT Live on Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. We couldn't leave you hanging for Thanksgiving. We wanted to give you a little something, something before you start doing all the cooking and all that good stuff. But I'm not alone. I feel like, but I'm going to play it anyway.
WWT and going forward, the Professor Gerard Bonner, hashtag NXT Bonnerfied.
The professor is in the building. What's good, professor?
Hey, hey, happy Thanksgiving Eve to all. I guess we are going to be your, I don't know if we're your side. No, we're not your side dish. You'd probably be like the precursor, you know. So whatever it is you eat before Thanksgiving, that's what we would be, I think. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah,
this is.
I realized the second that I said side dishes, I was like, shouldn't have said that.
So yeah, for all my folks who are not doing great things and cheating on their wives or husbands, this is where you go before Thanksgiving.
Wow,
and then you go to your family for Thanksgiving.
We are not even 2 minutes in. Wow,
I'm just saying that's what you meant. Yeah. I'm just
that is not what I meant. Lord,
the one who's in control of our PR
from New Jersey, WWT resident AEW expert Courtney NJ11.
Yeah, you go PR after that.
Yeah, pretty much. Just
no
swivel. Oh my goodness!
Where you get that? You either go before or after the holiday. At least that's what they say.
Wow. Wait, how do you know this?
I mean, don't you watch TV or comedy shows? They say it all the time. We obviously don't watch the same comedy shows. That's probably
no, we don't. Clearly. Yeah, probably not.
And with that being said, oh my gosh, I can't find Will. You had a whole, I don't know where your thing is, Will, because I feel like you buried it somewhere else.
No, it's so a, it's Will, a whole go ahead. Thing. It's a whole thing.
It's yeah, Councilman Will Farrow of Strattonville with his Parisiac constituents.
I have not. This is a new one. Welcome, Will, in the building. How are you doing?
Like, how dare you throw these allegations of me burying videos before on the eve of Thanksgiving? First, we just
I haven't even seen that one. I don't even know where that one is.
How you saying we burying stuff?
It's right under Honey's intro.
Right there.
It's right there.
On the wait, where?
See, this is what happens when you aren't home.
Too much. Yeah.
Aren't home and then you forget where everything is, you know.
Wow, that doesn't happen, okay. But okay. Here we are. How are you doing, Will?
Like that just happened. Just happened.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I missed that.
You literally accused me of getting rid of it to the point. That you didn't know where it was at.
The case. I feel like there's certain videos somewhere else, and I usually download them, but I don't have that one that to download.
But it's already in the okay. We're taking people behind the velvet rope here.
I'm doing well,
Councilman. It is great to see you on the eve of Thanksgiving.
Everybody can come into the boom boom room.
The what?
What
the boom boom room?
Now are you talking about the one from the movie Life? Is that the one you're referring to?
And then it was a whole song. I think Chris Rock did a song or something about it, or somebody did a song, some comedian did a song about the boomer.
Oh boy.
See, we were there. We were on the track.
Hashtag 416.
Here's a great question. TK, you are kind of in multiple places. You've got your West Indian roots, you've got your Canadian roots. Do you actually celebrate Thanksgiving?
So tomorrow for Thanksgiving, I have been invited to a couple places. However, what I will be doing is I'll be going to the gym at 4 a.m. and then I'm gonna be taking my dog for a hike. And I've already cooked because
you cook.
We are Yes, I cook, but I cook because, as we had discussed via text, I won't say for who, but we're getting ready for TV. The professor and I getting ready for TV, so I have to be TV ready. So I've been cooking to be TV ready.
So your meal prep. Got it.
I didn't cook for gluttony. That's not happening, unfortunately, tomorrow, because we need to be TV ready. So
I'm probing now. What did you, what do you cook?
Oh, so actually I splurged a little bit. So I made lasagna, but I made a vegetable lasagna. So instead of the noodles, I replaced it with zucchini and eggplant.
Okay.
And I made the sauce. Mm-hmm. And I layered it. So, and then I also, because I can mess up a whole pan. Like, if you give me a lasagna pan, it's gone. So knowing myself, I bought the little mini dishes and cooked mini lasagnas that I can have just for the meal. And so I can still maintain.
Okay. I'm impressed. Okay.
I tell you, you're getting TV ready.
Well, no. I'm more impressed with the lasagna piece.
You'll see lasagna next year. You'll see next year.
These are things that I still don't know. So
yeah, okay. this what it is. Well, I mean, since we're getting to Thanksgiving talk, everybody drop in the comments if they are celebrating Thanksgiving. If so, whether they're cooking for Thanksgiving. And Courtney, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, outside of the obvious, because we are playing on Thanksgiving tomorrow, the Dolphins, I will be cooking tomorrow. I'm already doing dessert. I'm doing mac and cheese. I'm helping my mom with turkey. So we're getting everything prepped, since there is going to be Thanksgiving and football tomorrow.
Okay, so I must ask, tell me about your mac and cheese. There's a very real reason why I'm asking.
I know why you're asking, but that's just a perfect clip. I'm gonna probably use that for my personal, like, tell me about your mac and cheese. Anyways, go on.
Well,
sorry, Courtney,
please tell me. I'm very curious.
No, I will do it. So growing up, my parents and my grandmother would do baked macaroni and cheese. Okay. So for me, I macaroni and cheese, I would do it a little bit different. I would, of course, do elbow macaroni, but I would actually make a stovetop cheese sauce. So I would do like a base. I would do like flour, butter, make a roux, heavy cream, and then I would add in, once that simmers a bit, I would use probably like cheddar cheese. I know for my mac and cheese, I'm using white cheddar as a combination. So I always like to combo that, and then I kind of mix that in a bit. And then I top it with breadcrumbs and I let it bake a little bit.
Okay. I think I'm far enough away from this story to tell it where it won't incriminate anybody, because I don't even remember this person's name. But I was, it was a summer internship at MIT. It was my first summer there. And we had a group of us that were a part of this program with UNCF. And so one Sunday, you know, we decided to kind of do dinner together, which was cool. And a young lady there made macaroni and cheese with tomatoes in it. And I had never heard of such a thing before.
Wait, that's like the equivalent of adding raisins.
Well, needless to say, I didn't consume that mac and cheese. And it is why I often ask, because all mac and cheese is not created equal. So just needed to know what we were dealing with here. They also put brown sugar in their Kool-Aid. So it was just a whole different scenario altogether. Yeah. It was wild. It was very wild. So I went on and just ate pizza that day. So
with lobster, I've had that West Indian mac and cheese. For you guys who know, you know, West Indian mac and cheese is a whole nother. It's different than Southern mac and cheese.
This
is what I really love. But that is something else that I can. You can't have that around me because it's a wrap. But what are you and Lil Professor doing?
Well, we are doing quite a few things, spending some time with some family. And of course, there's always a jerk turkey involved. And if you've never had jerk turkey, trust me, it will change your life, particularly when there is stuffing in the turkey and you get the jerk sauces in the stuffing with the turkey. Listen to me. It will change your whole life. I promise you. It will change your whole life. So, yes. Okay. There we go.
All right. And Willie Will, where can everybody, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm what you call the walking cousin at multiple events. I can cook. I choose not to let people know that, except in certain occasions. So I like to be that person when you go on the cousin's walk. I'm the front person for that wherever I go. And I don't go empty handed if you catch me. Some Friendsgivings. I live out here by my, I don't have family out here, so it's just really just friends. So we'll stop at a few of those. Is it wrong that it's okay, that's five places I'm supposed to go.
Five?
I only want to eat at two of them, though.
Okay.
Oh, I can tell you how to avoid that.
The other three, I think I'm gonna lie and say I don't eat pork. And I need a food allergy, but I need like a common food
allergic to nuts. That's a good one.
Yeah. See, I do that, but then I'm gonna grab something that got nuts in it, and then they're gonna be like, I thought you I'm gonna forget on one
dairy.
There's dairy and everything at Thanksgiving.
I got the lactose.
Yeah.
I got
the lactose. Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it.
Three of them are dice rollers. Three of them are just because like it's a potluck. So you're like,
no, we don't do that. Mm-hmm.
Someone had peas and they mac and cheese. And I was like,
see, this is what I'm talking. This is why I asked the question. This is why I asked the question.
Can't do that.
Yep. Raisins and potato salad, like location.
Yeah, but that's what you do is because you time it out. So you want to spend more time at the other two locations. So you go to the locations that you don't want to go to. You time in an hour, you grab a drink, you talk to the people, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go to X, Y, and Z. And make it, that's going to be your last destination, not letting them know that you have other destinations to go to.
Yeah, I got my three picture rule. If I can get three pictures in, I'm free to leave that location afterwards. Yep,
agreed.
Slick.
Yeah, I was there. I got proof I was there. Mm-hmm. And then I kindly hit the Batman. You know what I'm saying? Like, you be talking, they turn around, and then I ain't that alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They call that the Irish goodbye.
I like to call it the Batman. I don't know. For some reason, okay. I feel racist when I say the Irish. I don't know. I feel like a word I ain't supposed to be saying.
Okay. Well,
after I watched The Departed, a lot changed for me after watching The Departed. I was like,
I have to watch that. I am going to do this because did you debut the shirts on Monday, Will?
No, I only showed Honey and the Mayor. I was waiting till everybody was there. I didn't know if you approved them or not.
Well, I think most of them. Only one I had a question, not necessarily approving or not. This is what we talk about behind the scenes. However, the reason I'm saying this is in the Black Friday and everybody's gonna be shopping, I need you guys to put aside a little bit of money because we have our new website launching with new merch. So I'm gonna be debuting the merch right now. Mm-hmm. And so now you know what shirt you want to get, and then you just put aside a little, like just a little coin to get the shirt. So this is courtesy of Will. This is by far my favorite shirt.
Of course it is.
I'm just saying.
Of course.
Just saying. This is
our favorite shirt.
It's our favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for those who know the story, this one you can't really see, but we had a spin on this, and this is the new spin on this shirt, and I'm really excited about this shirt. And guaranteed there will be a lot of wrestlers who are wearing this shirt. So there's that one. This is another favorite shirt of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my Canadian folks. Another version of it. This is actually all the shirts are my favorite. I can't even lie. If they weren't, I wouldn't be showing it. So they're all my favorite. So if you guys definitely want to look into, it's on. Wow! Look who decided to show up.
Wow! Wow.
You know what's crazy? We mentioned him last night. That's the crazy thing about it.
And that's the one right there. I love that one.
I love that one.
This one's a good one, too.
I love that one.
So, like I said, you guys be on the lookout for that. We'll let you know when the new website drops with all the shirts, but definitely put a little bit of coin aside to support Women's Wrestling Talk. And yeah, we have a lot of good, great things coming for 2025. So just a little sneak peek for those who who've been on the team from day one. That's what I'm thankful for, because we won't be able to do the whole thankful thing. So thank you to you guys who have been with us since day one, rocking with WWT Live and Women's Wrestling Talk, our informational officer and our producer, unofficial producer. Sindel, I don't know what your name is as far as who you are a part of the team, but you definitely are part of the team because you'd be giving a lot of jokes. And then I guess Jacob is a part of the team too. I'm kind of thankful.
You said you're kind of thankful. That's
hilarious. I mean, I can't remember last time I seen him. Anyways,
He was here recently, like a month or so ago. Y'all were gone though. That was when y'all were in the Caribbean and stuff. But he popped up.
That's a solid month.
A month. Okay. All right. Well, it's.
She's great. She's great. She is great.
I don't know, comic relief or I don't know. I'm gonna figure out a name because you be on point. But shout out to everybody on the chat, Dylan, Sindel, Jeffrey, everybody who is here. Thank you for coming on. But let's get into our first story. What do we got?
Well, since you started mentioning 2025, it's probably a good time to talk about a major change that is happening over in AEW. Of course, AEW just finished with Full Gear. They are gearing up for a number of things, which we will get into. But one of the announcements that was made back at the All in London show was about AEW's debut in Australia, Grand Slam Australia, February 15th. 2025. It was slated to be at the Suncor Stadium, which has a capacity for 52,000. Well, today an email went out, and the email said that, there's been a change to the venue. The venue is no longer going to be at this football stadium. No. Instead of Suncor Stadium, it has moved to the Brisbane Entertainment Center. The Brisbane Entertainment Center has a capacity of around 15,000. So you might be asking the question, why did the venue change? Well, the venue changed because of, according to the venue, low ticket sales. So the arena or the stadium show that you were looking for in Australia in February will now be a simple arena show, 15,000 at max. We'll see. Now, I guess my question is, what does this statement say for AEW's international capacity, considering it's their debut in Australia? One would figure, you know, they'd be able to land 52,000 people or so. What are your thoughts? And I guess, Courtney, we should go to you first. You are the PR person for all things AEW. What do you think this means?
I think for this one, when they first started, there was a lot of high expectations going into this, since this was their first show coming to Australia. So, of course, they wanted to make a big scene with it. And, of course, they had a few people within the AEW space, like Tony Storm, Buddy Matthews was doing a lot of press work on ESPN Australia. So that also was a big one, but apparently it was not what it expected to be. But the positive side of this is they actually alerted this now, then waiting till January of 2025 for it. So it was nice that they kind of pivoted a bit, because they knew, like, okay, tickets are not selling. What are we going to do? And at least there was at least a plan in place of switching venues ahead of time. And I know it just felt a little weird, but it is just going to be really interesting. And also they put a report in that they were going to switch to smaller venues. in 2025. So that's also something to really consider. I'm really curious on how this is going to go with the new venue. I'm hoping tickets do sell a little bit since it's in a smaller venue, but I'm curious on how it's going to be moving forward between now and when it comes to Australia in February.
And before we continue answering, I guess say his name three times and he appears. Jacob DeLawrence is, I guess, in his kitchen. Cooking?
So I was watching the show. Also, hold on, wait before I get started. Professor, good to see you, sir. How are you today?
Good to see you, kind
Courtney,
sir.
Good to see you.
I'm good to see you, too.
That nigga in the box in the bottom right corner.
Hey! No, we're not doing that.
No, I owed him that one.
Okay.
Like, good to see you, counselor. All right, now, like, I'll give you that one. I knew it was coming.
No, I told you I was going to get you for that one.
Now you serve that one. Okay.
Of course. And TK. Right. No, I'm in my kitchen currently baking pies and making dressing for Thanksgiving. And I was watching the show. Saw the shirt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you said my name yesterday. And then you mentioned me again. So Candyman's here. So I'm here for a quick second.
Oh, a quick second.
Just a quick sec. Again, I'm in my kitchen. Clearly, like,
yeah, let's we are full fledged. Say that.
Wow.
That was.
Oh shoot! Ooh.
You left it hanging there.
I hate y'all, except for Professor.
She was like, "Oh,
you left it hanging there."
He thought he was safe.
I knew better. I knew better.
Well, I think welcome back and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you again. What in the new year? Like, I don't know.
Jeez, I did tell y'all it was basketball season and that I was going on vacation. So,
okay.
I warned you.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we'll look forward to that NXT show. That's never going to happen. Thanks.
It'll happen right about the time you start appearing more often.
Wow.
Hey, it's already happening. But with that being
said, when you
said,
come to work, I'll come to work.
Oh, but I work behind the scenes. How do you think this all is happening?
Who do you think keeps set in check?
Oh, wow. I didn't know. Well, thank you for keeping set in check. You hear that, Sindel? All right. With that being said, Professor, you had some questions with AEW. We don't want to get off the rails too much because that can be a whole hour. And, you know, like I love a good riff. I don't know if you're staying with us, Jacob. If you are staying, you know, feel free to answer those questions. If not, you're going to continue cooking. Please let everybody know where they can follow you. Either way.
I'll answer this question about AEW deciding that, hey, we can't sell 50,000 tickets. Let's move into a 15,000 seat arena. It's a grand slam if we're playing T-ball, I guess. Like, the whole grand slam, we're going big. We're going into arenas that aren't normally used. Arthur Ashe, which has lost its luster a little bit. It's one thing you could say it's not a good thing for AEW, but also it's a new market. Sure, you got Tony and Buddy, but it's a new market. It's unproven. I think Tony wanted to shoot for the stars and just like, hey, you know what? Screw it. Let's just go big out the gate. And he realized I probably should call a pivot. At least he's doing it in November and not mid-January, so it doesn't look as bad. And, of course, he could, in theory, open up the center that they're in and maybe get a few more seats in there, or maybe if it really moves, you could change buildings again. So not all hope is lost, but for all the AEW haters, it doesn't look good. But, you know, it's business. I mean, it happens. At least he caught it.
I mean, you caught it now, and it's a good thing you did it now until waiting until January or even early February.
So let me ask this question to you, Commissioner, and that is this. the question is, what does this say about AEW's global impact? I mean, considering All in London, you know, did such a great job on the first show in Wembley, again, because there was such a demand and the viewership for AEW in London and in England and the UK is significant. Given the research that has been done, there had to be the kind of viewership in Australia that would make AEW think that they could fill up a 50,000 seat stadium. What does having to move this to a smaller venue actually say about the impact of AEW globally?
That they still got some work to do. I think maybe the fake TK had saw that there's not a lot of opportunity of wrestling out there besides smaller independent places, and to see the success of WWE because of how much Australia wanted a show out there, maybe they felt like, okay, you know, let's provide that as well. But I think it was more catered toward, we want to see WWE come to Australia, not just wrestling in general. But I, it's with that, it is up to him to show them now, get, and he has the opportunity to show them why that market could potentially grow with them. I watched Full Gear this past, what, Saturday? Loved it. I watched the full thing. It was a great pay-per-view. So if you could deliver that in Australia, maybe this opens it up to where it's now, okay, we do want you here. We do want to see this. And you can fill those stadiums. But I think them just getting comfortable with being in London, that's just one territory that you conquered. So it's like, now see where else you can go, which you're seeing is Australia, and see if you can go there. But I also want to see, too, what does it look like domestically for you? And if that may be something that you should focus on a little bit more than trying to go international right now.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because the push to do smaller venues in 2025 was specific to the domestic market.
It's Jacob Delusional Lawrence, accountant of Vice City.
I show up when I want to.
Okay.
I mean, it's not wrong, so, you know.
Wow. There it is.
It's accurate. This is accurate.
Shout out to our producer. Wow. Sorry, just
yeah. Wow.
Before he leaves, so he could see it.
So
that thought is.
Oh boy, yeah. So I'm just. This is such a curious move to me. It's a very curious move to me. So here's my question now. What does AEW need to do to gain traction in the global marketplace? TK, I'll go to you first.
Well, I think, and I've been talking about this for years, right? Kind of finding your lane. I feel like we're seeing less of this. So correct me if I'm wrong in that. We're seeing less of the fake TK comparing publicly himself to WWE. I feel like last year and the year before he was doing it like often. I feel either his team or he's realizing either through money, because money is the telltale of everything as far as whether something's doing good or not, or his team is telling him that like this is not necessarily the play to compare himself to WWE. You can't compare yourself to something that's been around for, you know, umpteenth years. Mm-hmm. And I think with this is, it's kind of a learning lesson. I mean, I learned this in business as well. You expand to a point and then, you know, either the sales start dropping or something and you have to pivot. Mm-hmm. A good business person pivots and sees where the direction's going. So, okay, we should be comparing ourselves to a company that's been around for this long. We're still a baby. How do we create our own lane and create our own kind of wrestling fans? Because a lot of people don't watch both products.
Sure.
People tend to know what's going on in AEW and they'll watch WWE or vice versa or TNA. People tend to have more of a favorite because both those products in particular are very different.
Yes.
So if you have a preference and you don't have, like, you know, for instance, like us where we watch it in order to talk about it, I think people, it's like either you're a fan of that or you're a fan of that. So now I think with that, you're pulling back and you're like, okay, we can't necessarily shoot for the stars for something that big because it's not selling out. one, it doesn't look good on camera. That's one thing. Two, we're losing money because you still have to pay for the venue.
Exactly.
That's not good, regardless if you have a whole bunch of money or not. So to see it on a piece of paper that you're in the red, that's never a good feeling.
Right.
I don't care who you are, whether you're a billionaire or you're a thousandaire or you're a hundredaire. It doesn't, it's never a good feeling. So I think now they're going to take a step back and it's like, just stay in their lane. And I honestly feel if they start creating their own lane as far as their own product, this is AEW. Don't compare us to WWE. We're not comparing ourselves to WWE. They're going to find their people. They're going to find their supporters. And then they're steadily going to grow as years continue. If they continue comparing themselves to WWE, they are not going to be here for the next 5 years. Like, because WWE's the TKO, they have Netflix, all the things that they're doing right now. Like, you can't, that's like dating somebody who, I don't even want to go there because I might get.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not even.
The second you said dating, I said, pivot like the other TK did. Do that.
Not going to do that. So, but, you know, finding your own lane. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Like, when you think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you think about wrestling and promotions, you think of WWE, and second, you think of AEW. The next one is TNA, because they stayed in their own lane.
Yes.
And they're steady growing, and they'll always be a solid third. That's unless something drastically changes, unless TKO puts a lot of money into them and all this other stuff, they're going to be a solid third. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're still making their money. They're still providing jobs to folks. They're still making a great product. I think that's what AEW needs to do as well. Once they figure that out, they're going to have a placehold in second place for now, and tables might turn. At one point, Reebok was number one. If y'all remember that. Ain't nobody.
I got Shagnosis back at home right now. I know.
She got a point.
Yeah, this to your point, TK, this is really part of business growing pains. It is when a new business starts, it often starts off really hot, and it has a great deal of momentum. Then it goes through some unexpected changes. And the real question is, how do you respond to the changes and what kinds of plans do you have in place? Most people don't ever plan for business to pull back or scale back. They never plan for that. And so when you don't plan and you're met with it, now you have to figure out, what do I do? And so I hope for AEW, they are able to make the kinds of plans that say, okay, let's stabilize, let's figure out our identity, figure out who our audience is, cater to them, and then start producing the kind of shows with houses that look full, with energy that's happening, with great content week after week after week that leads people to buying pay-per-views and leads people to talking about what AEW brings to the table. And perhaps one of the things that may do that is they've got a number of tournaments getting ready to start. Of course, tonight is the start of the Continental Classic at AEW Dynamite in Chicago. Also tonight will be the start of the Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup. Because one tournament is never quite enough in AEW. So we have two tournaments going on at the same time. Now, the women's tournament is not nearly as large as the Continental Classic. Tonight in round one, we'll see Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata. That really should be a banger. And then on Collision on December 7th, we'll see Serena Deeb and Willow Nightingale. The winner of those two will battle at Winter is Coming in St. Louis at Collision. And then the winner of that will be entered into the Wrestle Dynasty International Women's Cup, which will take place on Sunday, January 5th at Wrestle Dynasty. That, of course, will be in Tokyo, Japan. So that should be most interesting. What are your thoughts on this international Women's Cup that is certain to feature AEW stars, likely stars from Stardom and New Japan as well?
So before I get out of here, sorry to cut you off, Courtney. correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't this originally announced as it was supposed to be a series of Fatal 4-Ways to determine from each company who would then make it to the Fatal 4-Way? Was that not the original?
I don't remember.
New Japan announcement?
This is the first I'm hearing of the AEW side of it, so I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, yeah. I could have sworn. Go ahead, Counselor.
No, nah, because I think they talked about it Monday. Ring of Honors is doing something different too to determine okay. their four. And
got
it's,
it.
Yeah, and it's not a tournament. It's something else that they're doing.
Okay, I could have swore when they like announced that, I thought New Japan was like, oh, each company will have a Fatal 4-Way. But either way, this is interesting. It sets up like it's going to be Hayter and Willow. I'm hoping that it's not. That maybe we pull a shocker here, we go Private Party a la Young Bucks in, what, 5 years ago now, 6 years ago, and we let Queen get one over and we send her as the AEW representative. Like, let's just not go chalk. Let's do something different. Here's a chance to make a star, expose somebody to a wider audience. Why not? She's been putting in work. She's put up solid matches. I don't think she's had a bad match. She gave Sasha, at the time, her best match or Mercedes in AEW up until this past weekend. So reward the loyalty, reward the hard work, let her get the moment in the sun.
Councilman, what are your thoughts on this International Women's Cup?
I think it's dope. I think it's just a great way to spotlight a lot of the women that are out here, and it gives us a chance to know some of these two in these different companies. Like, now I'm interested to see a little bit more from CMLL, and I'm also now a little bit more interested in checking out Stardom and everything. So I think it's really cool to see. And again, like to Jacob's point, like building new superstars, because I agree with him. I would love to see Queen Amanada be featured in this. It's my Willow Nightingale too, you know, like I'm a Willow fan, but Queen Amanada has been doing like a lot, and I think it would be great to see her be in the forefront, and then what could come of that if she was to take the whole thing.
So for those who are unfamiliar, this Russell Dynasty situation is really going to be pretty special. So January the 4th is Wrestle Kingdom. It has always been the start of the New Japan year on January 4th, which happens to be a Saturday. There was one point where Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash followed each other, as in Wrestle Kingdom on the 4th, New Year's Dash on the 5th. Then there was a moment where Wrestle Kingdom became a two-day event, and that actually was the precursor to WrestleMania being a two-day event. And then they scaled Wrestle Kingdom back to one day, and now they're adding this additional event, Wrestle Dynasty, on January 5th. And that's going to be special because it's kind of a global supercard featuring New Japan, AEW, CMLL, Ring of Honor, and Stardom. So basically, you have five promotions under one roof in this massive event. Courtney, I'm going to ask you, does this kind of event being held in Tokyo, as opposed to the Forbidden Door situation on the north in North America, does this kind of start to make it feel like it's more of an even partnership between AEW and New Japan?
Yes, because we talked about this many, many times on how AEW needs to utilize your partnership. You have Stardom, you have New Japan, you have CMLL, and it's really important to really showcase it, especially on your roster. If you've never had anybody from the roster within AEW wrestle in Japan, it's a good opportunity for them to get a lot more exposure. And that's how some stars did it for a little bit and they came back. For example, Anna Jay wrestled in Stardom for a little bit because she wanted to get better wrestling-wise. So she wrestled with some of the best. And when she came back to AEW, it really made her a lot more confident and also really made her feel like she was ready to go for 2025. So this is a really great opportunity to increase that partnership a bit, because we have that for January coming up. So this is really going to be a good opportunity, and also showcasing Ring of Honor a bit as well. And I know a lot of people don't watch a lot of Ring of Honor, but it also gives, outside of Athena, but it does give an opportunity to showcase some of the other ladies within Ring of Honor as well. And also time for some new blood to come in as well.
Who would you suggest? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said before you ask any more questions.
B of WWT Wrestling with Honey with
Honey Pop Predictions.
Hello, guys.
I guess this is okay. All right. All
right. What you doing if you don't want to do it, TK?
What is this movement? I don't know what this is.
What's up, guys? Sorry I'm late. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome aboard.
Happy early turkey day. What's popping? What's happening?
Yes. So Jacob was here and then he left. Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed a Jacob sighting. Sighting.
A Jacob sighting. Indeed.
Damn it, I miss all the good stuff.
And he was in his kitchen.
He was cooking.
Yeah. Very nice.
It's Jacob Delusional Lawrence, accountant of Vice City.
I show up when I want to.
I did not mean to laugh that hard.
No. We laughed just as hard.
Oh my God. Oh, that's just as hard. Priceless. That is so great. That is so great. I needed that. I totally needed that. I'm ready. Let's go.
And he's back in the comment section.
I miss all the good stuff, man. What's up, Jacob?
So this International Women's Cup match that's going to happen at Wrestle Dynasty is going to be a fatal four-way with representation from AEW, CMLL, Ring of Honor, and Stardom. Given the four women that are mentioned for AEW, that being Jamie Hayter, Queen Aminata, Serena Deeb, Willow Nightingale, honey, who do you think will be the representative for AEW?
Oof. That's already pretty good right there. Like who should or like who could, like who I think.
Who should and who will? Because something tells me there's a difference between the two.
There is a little bit. Jamie Hayter, Willing Queen. Who should win?
Who should win?
This is my should. I'm gonna go with Queen Aminata. And who could definitely Willow Nightingale.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go with those two.
Okay. Okay. TK.
I'm same with Honey. I feel like Queen Aminata, there was a point. Dang it, when was that? Was that
earlier this year?
Last year. Mm-hmm.
It was earlier this
year.
Where we
thought she was gonna be the ROH champion. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Not ROH champion.
The TV champion, the inaugural TV champion, which happened there in Philly.
Yeah, so man, that feels like 3 years ago for some reason.
It does, doesn't
this
it?
This year's been crazy.
The way this year's been going. Oof.
Yeah. Man, I could write a book. Actually, I'm writing a book. Anyways, I feel like we've talked about this quite a few times where there's certain ladies where if you position it right and you get the correct story, it makes sense. And it doesn't seem like they're getting the story correct. Meaning that Queen Aminata has been in prime positions multiple times and the trigger never gets pulled. And why the trigger never gets pulled, have no idea. I mean, we could look at Athena. You know, at ROH, she has voiced on several occasions that she wants to be part of AEW. I don't know whether it's backstage stuff or politics or contracts or whatever it is. It's just kind of like there are people who want to see her on AEW and see how she's going to flex given she's done so well in ROH. So with that being said, I would like Queen Aminata to win. I think she's deserving. I think she'll show out, especially with all she's doing. I mean, her social media content is a whole nother beast.
Mm-hmm.
Will it happen? I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Vince, one of the Vince eras. He's had several where it's just like you're hoping for something to happen, but because Vince was in control, it was always a 50-50. Like you knew that there's a possibility, a 90% chance that your heart would be broken. It's like, I really want this, but Vince is in charge, so it's probably going to be this. And so that's kind of how I feel with AEW at the moment. Especially in particular with the women.
Well, we will certainly see. I mean, again, the idea that Ring of Honor, yeah, Willow knows Japan, but believe it or not, so does Aminata. She's done a couple of tours of Japan and has done very well there. I'd love to see her in this. If there's going to be a Ring of Honor situation and Athena is involved, Athena should absolutely not just go to this, but she should win it. She should flat out win it. To me, if you want to get eyes on Ring of Honor internationally, that's how you do this. And so it'll be interesting to see. But again, that all happens January 5th. But these qualifying matches in this tournament begins tonight. So in case you are paying attention tonight, again, Jamie Hayter, Queen Aminata in that women's tournament. And then, of course, it will also be the start of the Continental Classic tonight as well. So lots of tournament action happening in the world of AEW. And speaking of women and speaking of AEW, a very interesting conversation about Thunder Rosa, who recently did an interview on the AEW Unrestricted podcast. And in there, she talked about the injury that kept her out of AEW. And one of the things that she said is that, you know, it was likely the worst year of her life, both physically and mentally. And she said that she even had suicidal thoughts for a long time because she felt like there were people who didn't give her a chance. And then she felt like some of the fans were turning on her. She even said the comments that they were making were awful. They said, quote, go kill yourself. You don't want to put people over. Can we just talk about the toxicity sometimes that come from fans?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why in 2024 are we still in a space where when someone is clearly injured, people, instead of wishing them well and wishing them a recovery, are wishing death on people? What is the deal with that?
It just shows you like what it's just projection. That's really it. It's pure like projection. So the meaning you are saying this stuff really says a lot about you, because you're upset that you're not doing what you want to do, and you have some kind of audacity that you've created that you're going to hate on someone that does do these things, that does take the sacrifice, that does take the time out to do all of this stuff, and you're not. And so for some reason, you'll start to have this delusion to convince yourself that you either think you can do it or you think that people do it better than that person. That's why when everyone goes like, oh, wrestling is fake, cool, let me put you in a figure four and then you tell me if it's fake or not. So when you decide that you don't even want to be a person that is positive, or even, you know, not to test nobody's and Vince's word, testicular fortitude, you don't even have the real gumption to say it to that person's face. You hide behind a handle and a name where people can't come and find you, knowing that if the shoe was on the other foot and you were this person that everybody was targeting, no offense to yourself, but you might would have actually went through with what you're telling this person that she should have done, because I doubt you'd be able to handle it just as much as she's had to take it on.
Well said. Honey, any thoughts on this?
I mean, same, councilman. I mean, absolute same. It's absolutely disgusting. It's uncalled for and very insensitive, and it is pretty much projection, and it's a reflection on your behavior or where you're coming from, or what would even possess you to even get the mental space to even want to put something like that, you know, for someone. That's very, very... it's just disgusting to me. Like, I just don't like it. Like, I try to, like, I like to go on the internet with good intentions, you know, and I've learned throughout life that the more you intentionally put good out there, you will get good back. People like that are never going to get that. And they're probably, you know, miserable with their lives. So let them be miserable. But I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know what it is with this generation saying things like that, like kill yourself. I know we've come from generations with saying pretty crazy things, but never, I would never wish anything like that upon anybody, and I would never want to like kick somebody when they're already down on their own in itself. She was injured, you know what I'm saying, and she's a person too. Just be kind to people.
Yeah, I have a curious question, and I'll start with you on this one, Courtney. We are seeing more wrestlers start to speak out and in some cases respond to the comments of fans. I'm thinking specifically of another AEW wrestler, Ricochet, who has been very, very vocal as of late in terms of what fans have been saying and his responses and the like. Should wrestlers pay this kind of attention to what fans are saying? Or is this a moment where they go, hey, this kind of comes with the territory of being a public figure and figure out how to distance themselves, or as some people say, don't read the comments? What's your position on that?
There's always been a lot of discussion on this as well. I think there needs to be a little bit of a balance. And I think people need to realize, because I think people take jabs at them to get their 15 seconds of fame. But people have to realize at the end of the day, these wrestlers are humans. They have jobs. They have families. They have kids at times. So for you to make specific comments about that, that seems a little bit of a draw. But I do believe some wrestlers are kind of learning how to take their stride in and just really taking it going. Like, sure, there's going to be some people that are really going to pinpoint and really going to say things bad just because they did not do something better within themselves, but some of the wrestlers keep going. And also, not just Ricochet recently, I think a couple weeks ago, somebody really told Max Caster to go kill himself a couple weeks ago on Twitter. And that really kind of boggled me, because it's like, why would you even say that? So I think there is a balance, but at the same time for them, and I've seen some wrestlers really come out of the gate and they come out so much stronger, so much better with having that support and also dealing with a lot of like-minded people, because there are some fans that really will be with them throughout the good and bad. So it's really figuring out that balance and also just really kind of keeping going, because that all you can do is just keep putting your foot forward and doing good for others.
What are your thoughts on this, TK? Do wrestlers need to respond to some of this commentary? Should they, you know, find other ways to distance themselves from it? Kind of what's your position? Because some companies don't allow their wrestlers to respond to that type of situation, for recognizing that, hey, you actually put more attention on it than is necessary.
Right. I mean, I have a slightly different take. I think what's happened in this society is that we've everybody now has a microphone, and not everybody is deserving of a microphone, meaning that you can, I'm not saying that you can't talk amongst your friends, but for you to think that it's okay to openly threaten somebody on a public forum is crazy. And what I'm now more proponent on is, if you're going to act crazy, then you need to act crazy with the law, because you're not supposed to be threatening somebody's life. And then there are so many people who get away with it because they think it's okay. It's only on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more of a proponent, like, okay, this is the company, you know, almost having people who now investigate this, and now you pay the penalty for this. Like, there's no way that you feel like it's okay to threaten somebody at their job and then feel like there's no consequences coming to you at your job. So, because if you take that into consideration, now you're going to think twice about threatening somebody's life. Like, that's one thing. And I feel like Thunder Rosa, this is not necessary as far as the suicidal thoughts, this is something she's opened up to, but as far as the Thunder Rosa hate, she's been getting that for quite a long time in so many different factors. And it's just one of those things that we've had the opportunity to interview her before she was even signed to AEW, while she was with Lucha. Hearing, if you don't know about her story as far as coming to the U.S. and her immigration journey and all this other stuff, like, you might not necessarily be a fan of her as far as what she does as a wrestler, but what she's done as a poor person, what she's done for Mission Pro Wrestling, what she's done for women's wrestling, mm-hmm. is bar none. Like, for all the other wrestlers who may or may not like her or her locker room etiquette, they're not doing what she's doing for women's wrestling. And with that being said, it's just like, just respect the person. If you don't, you don't have to like them, but you have to respect them. And if you don't have to respect them, just go somewhere else. You don't like, you don't need to verbally say it. I feel like everybody feels like they can say everything that's on their mind.
And willingly go and type it, like willingly say, "I'm going to say this," with the intention of somebody seeing this, like it's a good thing. Like it's sick.
If your mama didn't tell you this as a child, let me tell you this now. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. In case your mama didn't teach you that, in case your daddy, if he wasn't there, didn't teach you that, let the councilman teach you. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all, especially to me, because I'll find your IP address and then I'll tell you come say that shit in my face.
Wow, we are spicy.
But that's the thing, though. Like, people think that unless you're like an IT genius, people think that they can get behind the keyboard and they could be it's a safe zone. It's not, y'all.
Nope.
For y'all who you have phones, your internet, Gmail, all that stuff, it's all trackable. Right. Mm-hmm. If you mess around with the wrong person, like a la councilman, he will find an IP address. He might find you, or he'll alert the authorities. And now the person who's going to be serving you with the restraining order will find you.
Mm-hmm. I grew up, so it's the authority route now. If this was 28-year-old Pharaoh, though, the second option would have been the first option. So I just give the authorities. I've received death threats from some other stuff that happened and stuff. I'm not going to go into details about it, but it's the same thing. Like, just report it. That's all you need. Don't try to talk to them. Don't try to go into it. Don't add no fuel to the fire. Just report it.
Yeah.
Report them.
And I think we have to remember, much like what you all have said, this is a public forum. These social spaces are a public forum. Just like you can't go into an airport and yell certain things and just say, "Ooh, I'm just kidding." No, they will find you, carry you off the plane, carry you out of the airport into a local facility. And I think people have to understand that, you know, you are here's what I don't think people get. Your posts on social media can actually be used in court. They can print them out and say, this is what you said on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people consider it. Those same posts and tweets are either helping you or preventing you from getting a job. Yep. Like it is very, okay. Oh, I don't know you, Ronnie. I'm not going to do this with you today. I'm not going to do this with you today. I don't know you.
You know what? Oh my goodness.
That's not the point. Anyway,
it's not. But go on, Professor.
Do you know your life is predetermined? You get up, you go home.
They don't want me to go there.
They're not.
I will switch modes. They don't want me to do that.
You get spicy before Thanksgiving. I kind of want you to go there, but go on.
here's what it boils down to. What it does boil down to is, it boils down to things like reading the room. Being aware of your surroundings, right? Like it's wisdom. And it's clear that a lot of people aren't walking in that. It is this, you know, shoot now, care later kind of thing that can really cost you in the long run. I really wish people would understand that there are likely opportunities you may have either received or missed based on what you have tweeted, what you have posted, and the like. And if people realize that, then perhaps they'd be a bit more cautious and careful. It's why I don't fully go off on people. It's why I don't say half the things that I possibly could, because I understand there are other eyes that are watching, and I don't want to prevent my own opportunities. So y'all can act crazy if you want to. I won't be the one. So I think that people really do need to give some thought to that, and then realize that if you are crazy enough to threaten people's lives and say things unfortunate like that, then you deserve to reap the full consequences of that. And that could and very well should include the law, because the law can do way more things than we can. And it's probably far more beneficial. Turning to far more pleasant news, congratulations to Li Ying Lee. We knew her as Xia Li in the world of WWE. She is officially signed to TNA. This makes me so happy. So happy. I believe it was this, you know, you made a great point, TK. So much has happened this year that it actually feels like 2-3 years ago. But it was at the start of this year that TNA rebranded from Impact into TNA. It feels
It was in January.
The whole video, that pay-per-view in Vegas at the Palms, the debut of Nick Nemeth, like all that was at the top of the year.
That's crazy.
And so to see Xia Li, who was a favorite of mine in WWE, I don't think she ever really got that opportunity to really shine and showcase, now makes her way over to TNA and get signed there. Also, we can talk about this as well. The Hardys have re-signed as well in TNA, which is massive news. There was talk perhaps that they could end up in WWE. We knew they had left AEW. Right. Yeah. What are your thoughts, guys, on the signing of Li Ying Li and the Hardys to TNA? And what do you think that means for TNA going into 2025? Honey, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say this just the same way as the councilman said about Samantha Irvin going on and spreading her wings. As long as they're happy, I'm happy. Because I always wanted it for Xia Li. I really did. But I'm really happy about this signing. I think, you know, the TNA women's roster gets of course stronger with this one. She's got the force in her, and also the Hardys, happy about that as well. I don't mind it. You know, it's where they love to be. Let them be. They're definitely going to be fine within the division and TNA as well. It's a place they know well. It's familiar territory to them. They know how to work it. So I'm not mad at either of these signings. I just can't wait to see what else they have to offer for us.
Love it. And we'll come back to this question in a second. I wanted to read Ronnie's comment. He says, no, I love pro wrestling. I hate when people get on me for loving pro wrestling. I wasn't downing pro wrestling because I watch a lot of pro wrestling. People get on me for being a pro wrestling fan. Got you. Understood. I appreciate you clarifying that, sir. Really glad I held back on that. See, you just got to give people a shot on that one. I know TK wanted me to just unload and then apologize later. But no, we're in the Thanksgiving
spirit. Well, I mean, I didn't want this in the holidays on Ronnie. I just, you know, I mean, as our producer would put it, heel professor is, and then he'll pray for you. I mean, this,
yeah,
and it'll be like a mighty prayer too, like a
mighty prayer and a very delightful go forward.
Y'all are terrible.
Go forward, daughter of Zion type thing. Oh my gosh, like.
So, Councilman, your thoughts on these signings, the Hardys, Li Ying Li to TNA?
I hope Lee gets that Drew McIntyre treatment. I hope they just shows like why she is a valuable product, and I think TNA will be able to do that for her. And then the same thing with the Hardys. Like, I like to see healthy Hardys.
Me too.
And that's what I'm seeing with them at TNA. So it's the same thing. As long as they're happy doing what they're doing, they don't feel stressed, they're able to still deliver a great product, by all means, stay there. And they already know, like, whenever you decide to come home, it's going to be open. It's not like it's nothing that, like, for them to just pop up if they want to. But I think it's a dope way for the TNA brand to show that it is really growing to another level.
And speaking of people who are have left the streets and decided to come here.
What an intro.
Oh, boy.
Zeddy Zed is with us in I don't know, somebody's
undisclosed location.
Apartment. Yeah, undisclosed location.
I'm a couple of steps away from the aluminum paradise, but I had to come in here because I didn't think we'd have a full house Thanksgiving Eve. You know, I didn't know they celebrated it in Canada, but I don't know what the Canadians do on Thanksgiving. TK, what the Canucks be doing?
First off, Thanksgiving is in October, so fun fact. And second off, your tag team partner Jacob DeLawrence was on, and he said that I should thank him for keeping you under control. So I just want to let you know that I had to thank him today. That's what he said. Did he not say that?
I'm here because I was listening to Professor hide the Bible and beat your ass while God watching. I'm trying to make sure everything is straight. I heard that and I was like, let me jump on. What's happening?
Oh my gosh. I cannot. I love it. Yeah, man. You know, the fam had to get together. I came a little late. I didn't catch the Jacob DeLawrence sighting, but you know, the family got to get together for Thanksgiving.
I don't believe you about the Jacob DeLawrence sighting. I need to see the film.
Yeah. That's happened. He was in his kitchen.
It did happen.
He was in his kitchen.
Yep.
He was. Yeah.
Chef really cooking with the pot.
are you staying, Seth? Are you going so we can continue with this conversation? I know you want to. We gave you your grand entrance, so you know.
I don't ever ask for a grand entrance. I'm obviously here, so we can.
Seth's about to pound the streets.
This is. Damn it! All right. All right.
Wow.
I guess I gotta delete that one too. I gotta delete that.
Wow. That one's funny though.
Wow.
It is funny. All right. Sorry, Professor. Continue.
Well, Seth, let me ask you your thoughts on the signings to TNA of Lee Ying Lee and the Hardys.
Hardy seems like a no-brainer. That's a place where they can kind of use their legacy and creativity there. I don't think they'll be pigeonholed into other things or even, I would say, challenging schedules or in-ring work. I think that's a good fit for them at this point in their careers. The Xia Li thing is dope. Mm-hmm. If for anything, that it's still like a doorway back to WWE, I thought that release was kind of weird when it happened because I feel like we just saw another layer of her with the Becky Lynch, with the brief Becky Lynch rivalry that she had. So, I think it's a way for her to still get some good FaceTime, and we also have the NXT partnership. I thought she was probably a better character in NXT. They utilized her a little bit better, so I think we'll see more of that in TNA.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I would definitely agree with that. Let me know. She was really. I don't think she asked for that. She was part of that whole group that was. Released. What kind of things, Courtney, do you think we can expect from Lee Ying Lee in the women's division in TNA?
I think for her, this will give an opportunity for her to shine within the knockouts division because, of course, you have joining Grace and, oh my God, my brain is so dead. I forgot the person who beat Jordynne Grace for the title.
Slamovich.
Slamovich. Yep, that's it. Jordynne and Marcia. And also, sorry. But going back to your point, this is going to be a great opportunity for her to really be another contribution to the knockouts division. And also with TNA, it makes me happy to see the knockouts division because I remember seeing them in 2003, 2004, and seeing them grow. And also curious on what top storyline she's going to be a part of. But I know she's going to create a lot of impact within the knockouts division and opportunity for her to shine a bit on the stage.
We love to see it.
Courtney, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Councilman Mashevich. Okay. Is definitely.
Yeah. I said it with such confidence.
Hashtag. We got to read the hashtag.
I said it with so much confidence. Like that.
Yes. Was confidence and conviction. You were like, boom. That's it.
200 points, Alex. That is not it.
boop. TK, do you think the Hardys will finish their career in TNA?
Ooh, they might, but here's the interesting twist, because we have a bit of a partnership with TNA and WWE, right? And even if they do finish their career with TNA, both brands will celebrate them once they finally, I don't want to say finally, once they decide to retire. Mm-hmm. Can y'all hear that?
That little... I heard something, okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're working on my garage. Anyways,
there.
Once they find, where else would they be?
I'm just trying to figure out who they is. I don't know if you got. Minions people. Or like, you know, you got Minions. Sweatshop back there, you know. It's a large estate. If y'all don't know, that's a large estate. So TK probably got some Migos back there or something like that, slaving away.
Both are saying interesting question, Professor. I would say no. I think deep down they want to finish with WWE. Matt and Jeff being exclusive ain't surprising when they're with when they are the TNA tag team champs. I don't know. I feel like they both places have a special part of their hearts. Both places have a special place in their heart for both of those guys. Minus AEW. I feel like somebody said that. With TNA, they can spread their wings. And I think no matter whoever goes to TNA, it seems like people have ideas. TNA is open to those ideas. And if it makes sense, they allow them to do those ideas. That's a really great thing with TNA. And I think NXT in particular, somewhat WWE, because they're operating on a whole nother level, they're now getting open to listening to people's ideas. So I think it might just decide on how much longer they have left in their career. I also think that that's why Jericho is still at AEW. Like, what he's doing at AEW, he can't do at WWE. He can't spit all these ideas and they'll tell him go for it. So, and same thing with Mercedes. So I think you kind of go where, especially if you're a creative person and somebody's going to allow you to be creative, whether it's good or not, that's kind of where you're going to be. So if they have, let's say, 5 or 6 more years left in their, you know, consistent career, then why not spend it with an organization that's going to allow them to do that on a smaller scale? Because I think just WWE is just a juggernaut right now, and they can't allow, you might have the best idea, but you have to get in line behind whatever else is happening.
Juggernaut with a capital J.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting.
I didn't do that. That was not me. somebody's on one today.
Yeah. I think in the Hardy situation, you know, what they accomplished in WWE and TNA are two very different chapters of their careers that they are both thankful for. You know, think about this. In WWE, obviously, you know, they gave us ladder matches, TLC. Jeff Hardy became a world champion there for the first time. But over in TNA, we got heel Jeff Hardy for the first time. You know, that's where we also got broken Matt Hardy. That's where we got these cinematic matches. And all of those moments in both TNA and WWE changed the wrestling industry for good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there could be an argument made that they'd be comfortable ending their career in TNA. And much to what you said, TK, they would still be honored in WWE because so many people have patterned their style or who have entered the wrestling industry because of what the Hardys have done. And then on top of that, you know, you look at the situation where the work schedule in TNA was probably much more conducive to where the Hardys are now than if they were working a WWE schedule potentially. So I think there's some real opportunity.
You saying that, though, I think we get both. I think we get ending with TNA, and I think we get a Hardy run at WWE one last time, like just their final match and probably at a SummerSlam.
That or I could see a Hall of Fame induction for
the Hardys. That's what I'd see more than a run.
Right.
Just because they have so much, WWE has so much things going on.
They've got all their content primarily. So
I wouldn't mind a run though. Just one more. The Hardys versus the Street Profits.
But it depends on the full shape they're in.
That was gonna be my question. Are they retirement match ready? Like one of those, like, yo, you gonna give us a show for this last one, or should it be one of those, like, hey, let's do a Hall of Fame or just like celebrate them instead of this whole like one more match?
Well, I believe, now somebody correct me, I know they recently won the TNA World Tag Titles. I'm not sure if they still have those tag titles, But, you know, they won those and they won them in a ladder match.
They still have the tag titles, according to the TNA website.
So I mean, they're obviously still having to work current teams, and that TNA style is a pretty strong style. So it would be interesting. I mean, I think, though, if they were going to have a run in WWE, it would have to be sooner than later. I don't think we want to wait another 3 years and then give them. Because consider this. Where is the WWE going to be in 3 years?
Yeah.
A whole nother place.
That's the question.
Then that is Hall of Fame induction. That'd be about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe a WrestleMania spot, like a little small spot.
Sure.
Yeah. If you think about all the people that are coming up, like, for instance, like, here's a question. When Mercedes has done her contract with AEW and say, you know, WWE and Mercedes reach an agreement, do you think there's a place for her in WWE, given where, you know, the people that we haven't seen that are currently at the PC, NXT, all the people that they're adding now, what we haven't seen yet, do you think there's going to be a place for her when and if she decides to come back?
Absolutely. If there's still a place for Charlotte, Becky, and Bayley, then there's a place for her. If they can still get put on TV, Sasha can get put on TV.
Oh, I thought Honey was giving some shade, but she's just stretching.
I was just cracking my back.
Honey was giving some shade. Like,
The shades ain't on today. The shades ain't on today. It's the holiday season.
There's still money to be made with Mercedes, I think, in WWE. So I think there would be an opportunity. I think, though, there might be it. I think it's going to depend on when, because, again, look at the scenario. We have the Women's United States title. We have not talked about this yet, and this is probably a good point to talk about the announcement of the Women's Intercontinental Championship, which I think we're going to just dive into that. With these titles, with all of these women competing for all of these spaces, the question becomes, what place would she have in this version of WWE? She's almost at the point where it could be dream match scenarios, right? But would you need her on your weekly TV to pop a rating, considering you were already doing that? We're in this space now where women are main eventing pretty much every show in WWE. So the cause that Mercedes may have been fighting for before, she might not have a cause to fight for. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that makes things interesting.
Can I ask a question, Professor? As far as her in-ring ability, do you believe that she can keep up with the women that are currently on the WWE roster?
I do.
Then I think she has a perfect place for there. I think it's because of, like, what she can still do in the ring, because of the personality, even some of the heat that she would draw. Like, there is a place for her there. Like, I could see her, even to the point, going after those titles, the U.S. Women's Champions titles, the Intercontinental titles. Like, she still now has titles she has not won. The Women's World Champion.
Who's going to be the first horsewoman to do it?
Yeah. Like, there is a lot for her to still be able to go and do. And even going back down to NXT and taking people on.
Let's ask this question, though, because she's got a 3-year deal, at least 5 max. So this almost becomes a Hardy question. Does she fit in WWE 3 to 5 years from now? Is something that's going to be really hard to say, because if we're looking at NXT, we're looking at Level Up. We're looking at the people who are getting signed to WWE. We're looking at WWE ID. We're looking at all of these spaces.
So
there's no shortage of talent.
So I got to throw this to Mayor then, because then I have to ask, as far as your client's trajectory in the next 3 years, what do you see her next elevation being? Is it something that can't keep up with that? Or do we see her possibly, and I'm sorry to say this, honey, do we see her enter Roman God mode territory in the next 3 years, where anything she do, she can't be stopped. There's a lot of possibilities going in that, but I'd rather, like, you know, the person that's his client, and with what she's doing, is that possible?
When did Mercedes become the mayor's client?
Don't ask silly questions, TK.
This is why she has to come home. This is why she has to come home more.
Ooh,
we had an entire show dedicated to this.
But
there's always room in the WWE for the greatest of all time. There's always room. But I think what we're seeing right now, as far as like your Roman question, this is what we're witnessing right now is her longest title reign. Like, even if you look at WWE standards, this is the longest title reign. So I think that's still something that needs to be seen with that type of production and stuff like that. There'll be places to do that because you'll have so much younger talent to develop, and you need somebody to kind of walk them through that with the schedule of Raw, SmackDown, stuff like that. So you think about your Lolas, Jadas, Roxanne's, Souls, things like that. In 3 to 5 years, when they are there doing the mid-card thing, you want to put them against somebody credible because you're going to have a depth of new talent there. So that's where she fits right there. If you want to look at that like a mentor role, you look at like what Bayley's done in the past year and a half, it's that exact same thing.
Or Bianca.
Yeah. There's a lot. I think
I still look at Bianca like an A-plus player. They don't give Bianca that many young talent matches.
I was referencing as far as like a mentorship role, like the way how she, you know, like with Jade and everything like that, you know.
The other question though, and I think this might actually be the bigger question, is will Mercedes want to wrestle when her AEW contract is up?
I would think so. Just because of all those titles you didn't see, there's no way you don't want to be a part of that. Like, there's no way.
Oh, no, there's a way. There's a way. Man.
Mercedes making so much money, she might not need to, you know?
This is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, that too.
This is what I'm saying.
Sports from the competition-wise, I can see her wanting to go. But, yeah, like you said, it may not be necessary. Like, she may be back in – she may be having her own Star Wars show by that time.
It might be a Mandalorian spinoff. She might get a feature in a John Wick movie. We don't know. We don't know what happens.
We know she's not a role.
I'm the tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, I know I shouldn't be comparing the two. What she could possibly get to.
Let me quickly ask this, because I know we're running short on time before Dynamite tonight. The Women's Intercontinental Championship. I think we might have had an inkling that when the U.S. Championship was announced, that the Intercontinental Championship wouldn't be too far behind. I think we asked on this very show when it would happen. Mm-hmm. And some said it wouldn't happen. We wouldn't hear the announcement until Rumble. Mm-hmm. Some said WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I knew it had to be sooner. Well, it's now.
Yep. We know
that there will be some sort of way to determine this. It hasn't been announced yet. It would not surprise me at all if both the U.S. and Intercontinental Championships are decided on Saturday night's main event. We know the U.S. title will. Here's my question to you. Who do you see as the inaugural women's intercontinental champion?
I got Zelina and Lyra. Don't say it, honey. Don't say it, honey.
I shouldn't have to say it. I think everybody knows.
Oh, do not put that in Professor's head.
What?
Okay.
No, what was I going to say?
You know who you're going to say going to be the first one.
Hopefully not Natalya. Hopefully not. You're not about to say that, are you?
No, that's not what I said the other night. I said that's what a friend of mine said.
Oh, okay.
Y'all know damn well who I'm saying. Zelina Vega. Hello. don't get it twisted over here.
Okay. So, Zelina, Lyra, those are good choices. Said?
I've been flip-flopping my choice the past 48 hours, but I think because the faction needs it the most, I'll say Sonya Deville. And I think Sonya Deville deserves it a lot more than a lot of other characters. So with everything she's gone through, I think that would be good for her faction, her being a leader of that faction, and also just her having her moment that they never really got to give her.
That's a dope pick. That's a dope pick.
Courtney?
Councilman just chose my pick because I was going to pick Lyra too, but I'm going to go a little bit out of the box here because there is a female I did watch as Money in the Bank. I'm actually going to pick Zoe Starks to be the winner. Because
a good choice.
Yeah, Zoe Starks, because she really impressed me a lot when she did her match at Money in the Bank. Her performance was definitely incredible. So I would love for Zoe Starks to be the inaugural champion.
This is a good one too.
I think
she's in the U.S. title tournament.
Oh, okay.
But we know who winning that one. We already know who winning that one.
Do we?
Do
Chelsea
we?
Green is about Do to be the first U.S. women's champion. I'm telling y'all that now. It's Chelsea Green.
I can
Green.
See it now. I can see it now.
It'd be fun.
And she just wished like a million followers, like as far as a mainstream media get.
Like, and she just got a studio partnership. Come on. Come on.
Imagine she changed up the whole suit briefcase and turns it into like the Canadian flag and everything.
Oh my God.
Colors all the time. Like, I think that would be dope.
TK, do you have any picks on the first women's intercontinental champion?
Man, y'all took mine. I wasn't thinking as always start by. Feel like Zoe Stark would be a really good option because just like Queen Aminata, I feel like Zoe Stark has been overlooked quite a few times. Like she's gotten close to the mountaintop and then all of a sudden like it all falls apart and you know now she's in the faction, which is good, but I know from interviews that like she wants that she's worked hard for it. So she wasn't on my Man, I'm like looking at the roster and I just stopped at Jacob Fatu and he's like looking at me and it's scary. So I have to. I'm like, damn.
I love you, TK. She's not used to anyone declaring their love that aggressively.
Yeah.
She'd be like, "So what's it?"
Right.
Oh my gosh. So I feel like either way, I am just happy in where we are as far as women's wrestling right now. Mm-hmm. Like when Women's Wrestling Talk first started, like it was just like on my like radar, it was just Naomi. Not meaning that there wasn't any other women, but it was just now you look at everybody and all the women and the diversity and the options and all this just within WWE, not even other promotions. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that we could be discussing that and we could be discussing names. Cause at one point it was if Charlotte was injured, there was nobody else.
Right.
Yeah, like That's Charlotte true. Extended vacation, come back for like 2-3 months. Take another bit. Like she could be on that Super Roman plan that before she's even into Hall of Fame and still be good. So I'm just happy either way to see it all go down. And also too, for my folks for Survivor Series, we will be having a watch along and a post show. So you definitely want to keep it locked into Women's Wrestling Talk for that.
Very good. Very, very good. My picks are Zoe Stark and Kairi Sane. I think that would be a great choice to, again, you know, really build up what Damage Control is doing. And I think she deserves a great moment. And it's wild with Zoe Stark. Most people will remember last year at Survivor Series, she was fighting for the world championship against Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. And so, it's wild. And then consider the fact that all year long, this calendar year, we have not had Charlotte Flair in a wrestling ring. Just consider that.
This whole year.
To TK's point, just the way that women's wrestling has grown, that we've had all of these moments in women's wrestling this year that did not involve Charlotte Flair. Mm-hmm. So very, very interesting.
Mommy taking over another year. And she wasn't the whole year.
I was going to say, too, almost like for Becky Lynch as well.
Well, yeah, Becky Lynch has been, we haven't seen Becky Lynch pretty much the second half of this year. And so, again, it speaks to where women's wrestling is going, and that is very exciting. All right, we got to get out of here, but before we
do that. one thing. So shout out to Brian. He has been day one since for Women's Wrestling Talk. One of the owners of Mission Pro Wrestling. So shout out to him.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
We just shouted out like all the good work that Mission Pro Wrestling has done. And we're looking forward to, I want to say it's speedy recovery, but we're looking forward to coming back because y'all was doing some, y'all was doing some good work. But yeah,
Brian's been down since day one-ish. He's one of one of the ooses. He's our oos.
since After Buzz days. That's crazy. Anywho, sorry, Professor. Yeah. It's that time.
That's okay. It is that time. Time to talk Dynamite.
It's Seth about to pound the streets.
This is what?
I thought it was that time. My bad.
I still ain't got my tickets, by the way, for Poundtown Wrestling.
I have not either. I put out some dope merch. As you saw,
tickets for Poundtown Wrestling too.
What? TK, you know what tickets we talk. No, you know what tickets we talk.
What's it? She was She said she would get me to the show. She said I can have tickets to the show. Did she not?
Yeah, he said Poundtown Wrestling. I didn't know you wanted tickets for Poundtown Wrestling too.
We can't keep with the meetings if I don't go to Poundtown now. We can't tell lies.
I can't.
I don't know what innuendos he's on. But I'm talking about the one that's Raw.
Councilman doesn't know what this is about, but he just wants the tickets to the Raw Netflix.
That's it.
Raw Netflix in LA, January.
January 6th.
That's the one I want. I didn't want that to be confused. I don't know what y'all doing over there down the street. On this side of the town, I'm talking about that Monday night Raw Netflix.
I have
accusations. These are not accusations. This is false accusation.
I have put in your request.
Wait,
all right. Sorry, Professor.
Because I don't know who you're talking to.
I put in your request, Will. Poundtown, I have to see when it's coming back. But Poundtown Wrestling is
I'm an Angelino. Poundtown I got the same request. What are we talking about?
No, Will text me. I'm just saying.
As long as I'm safe. So I feel like when y'all said WWE Network was leaving, that sucks for the rest of y'all. But as long as we're good on Peacock, I'm serious. Sorry to the rest of y'all.
All right, Professor, we got to get out of here. Let's. What you got?
Have a good day. Happy Thanksgiving.
I think we're gonna do AEW.
Well, I mean, yeah, we can. I mean,
we gotta watch along tonight. We gotta watch along.
AEW Dynamite tonight. Continental Classic begins. You've got the Gold League match, Darby Allin and Brody King. Also, another Gold League match, Ricochet and Claudio Castagnoli. In the Blue League, it'll be Mark Briscoe taking on Shelton Benjamin. And then there's going to be a world title match. The Ring of Honor World Championship up for grabs. Chris Jericho defends against Tomohiro Ishii. That's all going down tonight. And, of course, you'll be able to check out the watch along in just a few minutes. At the top of the hour with Courtney.
Yes. Yeah, it is. With that being said, you had something to say, Courtney?
Oh, no, I had nothing to say.
Yo, Dylan! Oh my God, I'm gonna download this. Courtney, with that being said, where could everybody find you?
Well, of course, as I mentioned, you can find me at the top of the hour because we get to do a watch along on Thanksgiving Eve. Continue the fallout from Full Gear. Feel free to join for the next 2 hours. You can always find me here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WWT Live. Saturday, I'm doing my toy drive with the Monster Factory this weekend. So feel free to check it out on socials. Also, like I said, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well. And I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Go for my kids tomorrow.
Hey.
It's for the win.
Oh my God, dude.
That's the quickness of our producer. Wow. Also, too, as we're saying our goodbyes, let's say what we're thankful for. So I don't know, Courtney, you want to say what you're thankful for, and then we'll go to Honey next.
Yes. Well, of course, I am thankful to be a part of this team. I'm very thankful to really get an opportunity to showcase AEW. I know some people, since I started doing watch-alongs, they have started to watch a lot more of AEW, which makes me a little happy as well. So I'm very, it makes me happy as well. I'm
laughing at Zed's face in a comment.
Okay. No, that's okay. But it makes me grateful for all of you to be a part of the team. And I'm very excited to continue being a part of it. And also some stuff for 2025 as well.
All right, Honey, where can everybody find you?
Everybody can find me here Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays with the WWT Live crew. All the social spaces, Wrestling with Honey, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Wrestling with Honey podcast on YouTube. And I am thankful for you guys. I am thankful to be a part of this team as well. I'm thankful for everybody in the chat. I'm thankful for my family. And I am also thankful for wrestling.
All right. Seti said, because I guess, you know, you got to pound the weights. Where can everybody find you and what are you thankful for?
I'm not privy to being found on this week, but if you want my socials, it's Sed Says on Twitter. Also, Sed is the answer on the gram. I got a website, www.tk, that's 3 days in a row. Hit my stipend or mytickets.com, please. I don't know about being thankful. That sounds kind of like a popcorn read, if I'm being honest. But I am thankful for Jada Parker being a friend. And if somebody wants to hit that clip for me, you know what I'm talking about.
Lick, keep it to 10 seconds so you don't get in no trouble if it plays. I don't even know if it's here.
It's at the bottom.
So
thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew. You
wrap it up.
That was way too long. I don't want to get
that was way too long. I already know
way longer than 10 seconds.
But do you play that before you go to bed? Said is that that's why this is why it's like
the things I play before bedtime can't be discussed on airwaves, but I'm gonna leave that alone.
Will, where can everybody find you? What are you thankful for?
You can find me at the Yams and Mac is touching on all socials and on my YouTube and Twitch. You can find me at Blame the Turkey. And I just want to say I am thankful for the scallywags that are in my life that I know. They keep going. I'm just thankful that I get to do this type of stuff every day. I am very blessed to have the life that I have that is not conventional to the stuff that like my parents may have had to do or them before. So I'm glad that I can put a smile. I'm thankful to be able to put a smile on my mom's face that she knows that I'm not just working for a paycheck. So I'm very thankful for that I have that.
Good for you, brother.
All right. Professor Hollywood Dylan. G, where can everybody find you?
Dylan is unhinged.
You should see him on my watch alongs.
Oh, <Lord. laughs> you could find me at Bonafide on all of the socials. On the socials, actually, there's some really cool things that are happening. There are some cool clips that are coming from Southern Honor as we are premiere or getting ready for our next big show. And you guys can kind of get to see me do some other things there, which is really cool. Check out all my commentary work in a lot of spaces. By the way, we were live on IWTV this past Saturday with IWE, and that was a lot of fun. So if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, go check that out. Southern Honor, Ashe Wrestling is coming up. And actually, the weekend of the one-year anniversary show for Ashe, I've got two shows that weekend, SHW and Ashe. And that weekend is my five-year anniversary in the sport of pro wrestling. So very, very excited about that. We'll probably talk more about that later. In terms of things that I'm thankful for this crew. I'm thankful for the sport of pro wrestling and what it has given me the opportunity to do, including getting to hang with you guys and meet all of you and get to literally travel the world because of pro wrestling, which is very, very exciting. And so I am grateful. I am hopeful for the opportunity to do more. And hopefully there's something that I can do in to help everybody just smile a little bit more. So I'm grateful for all of those things.
Amazing. Ooh,
all right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining. My name is TK Trinidad. You can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. Thank you guys so much for supporting Women's Wrestling Talk throughout the years, throughout the iterations, throughout all their original programming, the post shows, from the AfterBuzz days. I'm really thankful for you guys because, let's be honest, if you guys weren't watching, then this probably wouldn't be around because I don't like talking to no one. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I appreciate to the crew. I mean, the evolution of WWT and the crew. I was actually, ironically, funny story, and I'll tell this in front of everybody, talking about Professor. And I had reached out to Professor about WWT Live. And who knew that, 2 years later, 3 years later, we'd be walking on a beach in the Bahamas, Jamaica, and the Bahamas and several other islands next year just through all of this. So I'm really thankful for wrestling and all the people I've met through it. Yes, my dog agrees. But yeah, I'm just thankful for all that. And just, you know, we have new merch coming, y'all. We have a new site, and that wouldn't happen without all this. So I'm thankful for everybody and, you know, for putting in the work and having fun and, you know, said pounding the streets and all that stuff. With that being said,
does that include room 416?
Oh my god.
Well, you know, she won't be in there.
This is correct.
Yep.
Because, you know, I didn't know.
Ripping her teeth for it and letting us know.
That's a great shirt, man. I'm getting me one.
That is a great shirt.
I'm getting me
one.
There's
so many questions. People are going to be like, what? Who's the real TK and what's 416? So,
didn't know who the real TK is? You living under a rock.
Subscribe to WWT and find out.
There it is.
Hello.
Some ungodly things happening at 416. Ungodly things. You don't want to know.
With that being said, another thing I'm thankful for is our sponsor, ACW. Thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
This episode of Women's Wrestling Talk has been brought to you by All Caribbean Wrestling. Catch the wave. Go to allcaribbeanwrestling.com to check out all the latest pay-per-views or go on the YouTube page of All Caribbean Wrestling. Also, go and check out their socials. On Instagram at All Caribbean Wrestling and on X at All Caribbean WR1.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.